everyone, and thank you for joining once again this week's Sunrise Project call. As always, I'm so happy that we are all here together in a safe space filled with love and compassion and a desire to heal ourselves and heal our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am
Yes.
so delighted this morning to have Kiana M. Davis with us as our very special guest. She is a ray of sunshine, as you can see, with us coming from Detroit, Michigan. And
That's
she is
what
an
up,
author. What'd you say?
though? What up, though? That's
Oh,
what we say
yes. What up, though? Hello, hello, hello.
here.
Happy you are here, Kiana. She is an author, mental wellness champion, speaker, and podcast host with the gift of gab and the power to heal. Experiencing her grandmother's and mother's tragic deaths inspired her to help others heal and find their purpose in grief, loss, and trauma. Kiana channeled her pain into the pages of her first book, a grief journal called I Remember Her, which is a healing tool for readers mourning a significant female figure in their lives in 2020. 2 years later, she founded Improve You, which is a wellness platform that focuses on how the intersection between mental, emotional, physical, and financial health affects overall well-being. So this morning, as we are heading into these last couple of weeks of 2023 and the holidays,
Oh my
many of
God.
us deal with, the loss of our loved ones. It could be a parent, it could be a sibling, it could be a child, it could be a host of things, but we often are dealing with grief, trying to navigate through the holidays when it's really, people are bustling around and there's all these smiley commercials on TV, and we're supposed to be happy, but many of us are dealing with grief and loss and trying to navigate it all. So this morning, Kiana is going to work with us and help us as we cope with grief during this holiday period. So I'm going to turn it over to Kiana. Thank you so much for being here this morning early on this
Thank
Sunday. We appreciate you.
you.
And I want to start by asking you to share your story and your journey with how you became a mental wellness advocate. Just how did it all begin for you?
This has been quite the journey over these last, I would say, 6 years. So
Hmm.
like you in my brief introduction, as you explained, slurring.
Yes.
This all started for me back in 2014. So that's when my grandmother passed away. Like with most of us, especially in African American communities, our grandmothers and our mothers are our pillars. Those are our matriarchs, and those are, the women, the figures that we call on, that we depend on, that reared us, that raised us. So those types of losses are, especially if you're close to them toward the end of life, are very significant. And so the impact of those losses are tragic, even more so than, I wouldn't say your average loss, but even more so than some other losses, especially a parental figure. There's no words to describe the impact when you lose a parent or you lose a child, someone very significant and close to you. So everything started for me then, and then 3 short years after that, my mother passed away. And so there was a very significant difference in the level of loss. Grandma, we kind of expected it and made it no less tragic, but we kind of, had a window of when it might happen. Whereas with my mom, it was just out the blue. I talked to her the night, one night, and the next day she was gone. So that instantly began a period of transformation. Losses transform you.
Yes,
No
they do.
matter how small, no matter how close the loss is, you go into this period of transformation. And some people, they either lean into it and they use it to, for a greater cause, or some people just, they become immersed in it where they need the extra help to cope and deal with it. It's much more difficult for them to process and for them to move forward through it. So that's where it all started.
That's where it all started.
Yeah, it all started with that. So, I've called it finding your purpose through grief because my grief journey actually gave me purpose. It gave me a purpose that I knew I had a purpose, which was to help people, but I never knew the capacity until my grandmother and my mom passed away.
It's from pain. It's like pain to purpose. And so you transitioned and said, let me, how can I help people? And you're right. I so understand that. I lost my father in 2012, and it was very like your mother, very sudden. You know, he had a massive heart attack, and that was it. Stood up, that was it. And so, but everybody grieves differently, and we have to respect that and let everybody go through the process differently. So how did, when you talk about knowing what your purpose is and knowing that your purpose is to help people, work through their grief, how did you know that? Like, how did you get to that point? And how did you start with this book?
I want to speak a lot on the spiritual level.
Yes.
For me, I knew even when my mom wasn't in the ground yet. For me, I had a level of peace and acceptance like almost immediately, even in the midst of me being in shock and not wanting it to be true, and try to comfort my family members, like my brothers in particular, and happen to run everything, plan a funeral, move out, all these different things that were going on all at the same time of me processing losing my best friend, losing my mom. I knew that there was never a question of why. Like, some people say, oh, why did this happen to me? Why did you take them away, God? Why this, why that? Or not even the period of being angry at your loss or angry at God or what they call bargaining at one of the stages of grief. For me, it was more so like, okay, God, I know why this happened. It was time for me to let go. It was time for my mom to let me go. And for her to transition to her next phase, her next stage in life. Because, your parent, your principal figure, especially your mom or your dad, is, they get you to a certain point in life and then it's on you from there. And so for me, it was always that I had one foot in and one foot out, if that makes sense. I knew I was supposed to be doing greater and that I was meant for greater, but I was never quite sure what that was. But I wasn't fully embracing myself, my potential to be greater. So my mom was like, I called her my safety net. So my safety net had to be removed.
For you to find your purpose and your greater calling.
I might tear up a little
That's
bit.
okay. That's, I have a huge box of Kleenex here, puffs. And we are, it's all welcome and all okay. I was, as I mentioned, my losing a parent, and there's several people on here who've lost parents. It's hard. And it hits you sometimes. Sometimes you might be just walking down the aisle at the grocery store and something reminds you, and you're like, what? And the
A
tears.
song will come on the radio, like, and you
That's
know
right.
it's them. You
That's
can't
right. That's
explain
right.
it, but you like, as
You're
it's
like,
them.
exactly. And that's okay. So please, let them flow however you need. This is really a very safe space with all love and
I
compassion.
won't flow too much, and I won't be able to see.
It's okay. Oh, it's all good. That's why, most Sundays I do not wear makeup or mascara because I'll be sitting here with my eyes burning.
Especially from this year.
But tell us about your book, the I Remember Her, A Healing Journal. When did the book come out? And where can you get the book?
You can get the book online. I did consider Amazon, but Amazon wanted a little too much money. So I said, no. Maybe when I turn into a whole series, then we can revisit Amazon. But you can get it at iRememberHer.net. I call it an interactive healing tool. So it is over 150 pages. It's very immersive. Oh, excuse me. My eyes are watering a little too much.
It is okay.
So yeah, it's an interactive healing tool. It's very hands-on, so you will be put to work. It is a safe, I call it a safe space as well. This is a safe space that we're talking in. And the journal is your own personal safe space for you to process, you know, your emotions, express your thoughts. No, this is a spot. I wanted to create something for people to unpack and process. And, you know, if you don't have support or have someone to talk to, for the journal to be that for you. So it started actually in 2018. So I'm sure you might have experienced this. I get vibes from you just from talking initially. Early on in my journey, I experienced a lot of dream visitations. So my mom visited me a lot. She talked to me a lot. So one of the things that I was given in my dreams was the idea for this journal. So I actually had a dream about my mom. We had a visitation, and then the next day, when I woke up, I had the idea to start this book. And it's been quite the journey. Like, it took me a few years to really get through it. You know, life was life, and at the time, you know, you had
Life
come,
is life, thing. I
your
love
girl
that
had to
phrase.
work. You know, we had to do all these different things as part of your daily life to get you through to moving forward. You know, this path is, like you said, it's not easy, but it's different for everyone. And it looks different for everyone. So for me, the journal was part of my process to not only create something for other people, but also it was for me. So it helped me, you know, process as I was writing and designing it, laying it out. You know, it gave me a sense of peace. So like we talked about that acceptance, that was part of that. So it actually came out, the digital version, in 2020. So right during the pandemic is when I dropped this book first, and then the print version came out a year later.
That's awesome. I didn't have those dreams, but I had a little bird show up all the time and
See,
talk to me. A little red bird.
that's still a visitation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. On the quite I have a question about the book, because I note that you have the book itself, the printed version, then you have the ebook and print. So does the ebook, does it have you explaining, is there value in doing both? Or do you recommend starting with the print version?
I would say I found that, so I created the ebook, you know, just to be hip with the digital age. And yes, the ebook is actually interactive as well. You can type on the pages. I made it so it was a fillable document. So that means that you literally could look at the question or one of the writing prompts and type right on the page.
Got
But
it.
I found that a lot of people, they were like, "Oh, so you got the ebook out, but when is the print version coming out? I want a printed copy." People prefer to, you know, feel the cover and, you know, see the pages in color, and they wanted to feel the pages. They didn't want the digital, but I've made it so that, you know, for those that do or would like a companion, that they want to take the physical copy with them when they travel, they have that option.
I love that. And I know you also have, I'm looking because I'm buying my copy right now. I'm thinking of buying some extras for some family members.
Appreciation.
Absolutely, of course. And so I remember her.net, and Tiara
Yes.
put it in the chat for everybody. I remember her.net. So we all want to support you. And it's, I think if people have lost someone, which most of us have, a close person, close family member, or a close
Yes.
friend, it looks like it's a wonderful resource. And so really happy to support you. I want to ask you about another thing you've started, which is a mental wellness platform or organization called Improve You, which is
Yes.
spelled EMPROV, big letter U, Improve You. So talk about that. What is it exactly? What is your goal with that? And how can
Yes.
people be a part of that?
So Improve You, it is a mental wellness platform. And also, I didn't get to mention the mental health fund aspect of it. That has become the natural elevation of I Remember Her. So for the last couple of years, I'll say like 2020, the end of 2022 was when the idea came to me. And then I started, you know, fleshing it out. But essentially, it explores those intersections that we talked about with grief and, you know, mental health in general, and how it affects not just your mental, but in my experiences with grief, it affected me physically. You know, I got sick when my mother died, and I was, in the process of moving and processing everything. I was out of it for like 2 or 3 weeks straight, with a really bad case of a sinus infection. And on top of that, I experienced a lot of financial losses. I couldn't work like I wanted to because, I was processing and doing so much. I lost income and, like I said, the physical, but also the emotional. So what does that look like? Like, how do you go about servicing those areas while you're grieving? So that's where Improve You started from. So in my experiences with grief and dealing with those things, I wanted to create something a little more elevated, something that anyone can benefit from, whether they're grieving or not. But in particular, for those of us that are grieving, because grieving is a lifelong thing, it's always going to affect you in some way. So, how do you navigate on a grander scale? How do you navigate the bigger picture? How do you get help and specific areas that you might need help with. So that's where I see Improve You going as a mental wellness platform. I want it to be a hub. So
Okay.
it's going to be a hub where you can go, you can get resources, you can get referrals, you can get expert advice in different on different topics like managing your finances, recovering from a financial loss, getting in better shape, physical symptoms of grief, these different areas that we may not necessarily think about when grief first hits us or while we're grieving, at various stages in the process. I want to have a another space for you to go to basically get all your needs met.
That's awesome. I love that. I love the intention of it and the vision of it. So
Yes.
I can, and there is such a huge need. There's such a huge need.
It's so massive. It takes more.
Absolutely.
It's beyond me, like they say. It's beyond me. But
Absolutely. But you're
we
doing
have been
your
tasked,
part. Yeah.
yeah, we have been tasked to do our parts. So we do our parts to the best of our ability, just like you're doing your part,
Yep,
this
trying.
wonderful show and this platform that you have.
Well, and I love what you said earlier about how, you did the I Remember Her was really for you to help you go through the process of grieving. But
Yeah.
and so part of doing that, you're helping other people. But start off as I need a place to put down my thoughts and to
Right.
work through this. And so I feel the exact same way. I get it. It's like the Sunrise Project is really so helpful for me personally.
Yeah, it's personal.
I would do this no matter what because it helps me every single week. I learn something,
Absolutely.
I hear something, get a
Yeah.
really rich nugget like what you're sharing. So I want to talk about the actual steps, if you're willing to share. I know you've
Oh,
created
most
a
definitely.
free resource called 10 Ways to Cope with Grief,
Yes.
and would love to give some tangible thoughts, perspective, or even go through the steps however you'd like, but what are the things people can do to cope with grief? Those 10 ways to cope with grief. If you could share, that would be wonderful.
Most definitely. First, I tell people to start with, acceptance and allowance, which is something simple that we all can do no matter what stage you're in and what level of acceptance you're at, is to, give yourself grace, and allow yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling at whatever moment that you're feeling. Because as you saw, I had a moment just within this podcast interview.
Yes.
But those moments can hit you whenever,
That's right.
wherever. And, there will be things like we just discussed that would trigger you, and that's okay. And it's okay to feel a certain way in that moment. Don't have to stay strong, as they say, which is great and all, but it doesn't allow you, the very human thing of feeling. And, as a society, we have a problem with feeling our emotions. We repress
That's right.
them, suppress them. Do anything and everything under the sun not to feel them. No, that's
That's
not
right.
what you should be doing.
Absolutely.
You don't have to allow your feelings to run you or control you, but you absolutely need to feel them. So that's the first step I tell people to start with, is to get comfortable with allowing yourself to feel. And the next important thing is definitely to have some sort of support system. Whatever that looks like, for me, One thing I mentioned in the grief guide itself, as well as the journal, is that my support system was life-changing and was also very, very crucial for me to get to where I am now. Besides my faith, is having a support system of family and friends, or whatever that support system, looks like for you personally, to have that in place, because that would definitely help you get through. But once you get through, the initial stages, especially if you can, share in memories. Sharing in memories is something that I think is kind of overlooked and not pressed upon as being important, or being important enough where it actually does help you. I think people feel like sometimes sharing memories can be too painful, or depend upon that person and whom they're sharing with. Even for the person that's helping somebody that's going through grief, if you share in the memory with that person, have that person talk about whoever it is they lost and have them describe them to you, or to share memories that are personable and pleasant, memories where there was joy or things from childhood, different things like that really help when you're talking about coping grief. And so we're talking about going to the holiday season. Some, as you said, we look around and we see all these cheerful moments and these lights twinkling and these different things that we don't get to share with that individual anymore. But no, we can remix those holidays, as I like to say. We can,
Remix the holidays. I
yeah,
love that.
remix them. Take that tradition and, add your own little twist to it. Add a little something to it. So not only are you still honoring it, but you're also making it your own. And that way you're transforming what the holiday means to you, because it definitely does not mean the same. I still struggle with that personally. Like, Christmas is not Christmas for me. I just had this conversation briefly with a Facebook friend of mine. And he made a post yesterday because he lost his brother recently, and he lost a couple other family members recently. He said, Christmases don't feel like Christmas. It's not the same anymore. And I was like, I agree. It's not been the same for me since 2014. Christmas has not been like Christmas. So I've had to find my own moments of joy, but when I was ready to. So you can't force yourself to celebrate or force yourself to be in the spirit if you're not, and don't. Maybe take a moment to yourself, practice some self-care. If you do feel up to spending time with friends and family, definitely do. That would help. But if you don't feel up to celebrating, don't feel pressure, to celebrate, because again, that looks different for us, after we've lost people. It's never going to be the same, but it doesn't mean that you can't celebrate and find happiness in it. It just
A
looks different.
remixed version. I love the word remixed version because it won't be the same, but looking at it in the with a different lens, a different way, and creating. I love also what you said around giving yourself grace and creating the. I love the positive memories. I had an Aunt Gloria, my mother's youngest sister, who passed about 5 years ago. Gosh, time flies. And she was the gregarious, loud,
I always got one in the
crazy aunt. I call her crazy aunt in a very loving way. But her thing
family.
was dessert. So she always ate dessert first, and she would have like 10 desserts. I'm exaggerating, but so yesterday I had some family over, just a handful of people, and we ate dessert first in honor of Aunt Gloria, because I was this
Yes, I started
rebellious.
off the first few years, not Christmas, but my mom's birthday. I would go somewhere that she used to love to go to have, Applebee's. We joke about Applebee's now, but back then Applebee's was still good.
It's
It's
still good. I still like Applebee's. It's all good.
it has its
Has
menu
its
items that I
moments.
still get. Yeah. But I would do
Absolutely.
that. I would go to restaurants that I know that she liked to go to. Whether regardless of who could show up or not, I would invite my brothers, or my ex at the time that was I was in relationship. We would just that would be our way of honoring her, doing something that's familiar, but simple. Doesn't have to be an elaborate way of honoring, just something simple that reminds you of them, in a good way.
Yes, I love that. You've given a bunch of tips: acceptance, allowance, giving yourself grace, allowing yourself to feel the emotions. I think that's really important because sometimes
Yes.
we try not to feel. Having a support system, I love that, which the support system of friends and family, that's what you were meaning. That's like, putting, who are those core people? Is that, that's the support system you're talking about.
Well, your core people, but I found that also even you will sometimes be sent people. I found soul tribe members, as we call them, soul tribe. Those people that resonate with your soul that you might not already know or be as familiar with, or they may not be related to you. Some people become family, but sometimes you're bonded in your similar experience. I've had a few friends that either I reconnected with or made new friends, and I found out we have such similarities. People have lost their moms and dads too, or they've had certain instances of loss that they can relate. Maybe they can't relate directly, but they can relate on a certain level where you bond. You have that shared bond of trauma,
Absolutely.
but not the negative trauma bonds. That's a whole nother subject.
Right. Okay. But the soul tribe members, Tara says, I love that. I do too. Soul tribe members, where there's a connectivity on, it's a traumatic connectivity, but you've pivoted it a little bit to having a purpose and a place, like a safe space for the connection.
Yeah,
Okay.
you can, a person can be a safe space for you and vice versa. Sometimes you're sent people because you need to be their safe space.
That's right. That's right. I was sharing a few months ago. I was in at an event, big event, DJ, this whole thing going on. And a woman came
Oh, yeah.
up to me in the middle of the party on the dance floor
See?
and shared what was going on with her daughter, who the middle of the party. And it was like just the two of us talking. Like everything else just went away. But in that space, and it was out of and it was out of I didn't expect it to happen at that moment, but she became a soul tribe member, this person in this moment in the middle of this party, sharing a traumatic experience that had happened with her daughter. So, but I love that. I love the remixing Christmas. I love doing familiar things that will bring you joy or smiles or memories that are good memories. Is there anything else that you would share in terms of the 10 ways to cope
I
with
see
grief?
Sierra's note. Don't forget to
Yes.
mention journaling. We won't. We got that.
Okay, yes, please keep going.
Yes, journaling. So there are scientific benefits to journaling as I've been doing even more research. This is a constant research thing for me. So I'm constantly researching stuff. Benefits for journaling in particular, it's something we kind of already do. We just don't realize because we don't necessarily write it down. You're kind of like when you talk to your girlfriend or your spouse or whomever that you confide in, they're like a human version of your journal. But your journal really is a way for you to process your emotions, but in a safe space, as we mentioned a few times now, where you're not judged. You're not gonna have to have that interaction where you have to explain or you might have somebody interrupt you or they don't understand. You don't have any of that with a physical journal or digital journal. You can just be you and your thoughts can and feelings can be your own and you don't have to explain them. But you will be able to process them a lot better sometimes if you write things down. You could come back and look at it later. And it's a good gauge for progress too. You can gauge how far you've come, as you continue to evolve and grow and change because you will evolve, grow, and change over this grieving process and this healing journey that you're on. So having that benchmark is helpful, for you to see how far you've come and how much you've grown as an individual and how much you've transformed over your healing journey. And also
Absolutely.
physically, it's a stress reliever for one, besides working out, punching the bag, me personally like the box. So I can't wait to get back to doing that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's a stress reliever to be able to write down your thoughts. And even surprisingly, it get added benefits like better sleep. Like it'll help you sleep better when you're not so stressed because your thoughts are on page.
I did not know that it was a stress reliever and the scientific benefits. I do know when I do pull my journal out, which is not as often as it should be, I do feel better.
Same.
Get it out. What
Yeah.
you need to get out, you can write, as much or as little as you want. But I've also
Exactly.
learned not to stress myself out about it. Like,
Yep.
not to say that I have to journal today because that just adds more pressure. But when I
Yeah.
do, I love it and it's helpful.
It is. And don't kick yourself because I'm in the same boat. I'm like, dang, I haven't journaled in a long time. I just made the mental note. I'm like, I need to get back to writing things down. Now I have done a manifestation one where now this is something I don't know where the video is. It's on YouTube somewhere. If you Google maybe Steve Harvey 300 journal prompts or whatever, but it was some video that he did. I think it was like one of old clips of Steve Harvey show or interview. It was one of those two things, but he was talking about, this is a lot to write down, 300 journal prompts, but if you're committed and maybe take it a bit at a time, maybe you can do it. But it pretty much it was a challenge for you to write down 300 things, big and small, that you would like to manifest between this time this year to the same time next year. So I've embarked on that challenge. It's quite the challenge because I definitely still don't have 300, but I
Right,
have
300
100
is
things down.
huge. Okay.
Yeah, I have 100 things down, but not 300. I'm like, well, I'll get there somehow. Maybe we'll have to extend the year out, but
Wonder what the magic of 300 is. That's interesting. It
I'll
seems
have
like
to look that up.
100 would be fabulous.
Yeah. And of course, maybe you can chop it down a little bit. Now, 100 is still a
Yeah.
sizable amount of things to manifest, but you'd be surprised. Like, there's a few things so far I've already manifest,
Oh.
smaller things.
Well,
And
good.
that actually can start you, on a path to realize how much you do have control over as far as your life and the things that you can achieve and accomplish just simply from writing it down.
Right. And what I love that you said at the very beginning was, I love this that you said your mom was like a safety net for you,
Yeah.
and that you didn't feel like you had ever really launched, that term like failure to launch. A lot
Yeah.
of times, people will talk about, there's all this opportunity or this incredible person that just hasn't quite pushed to
I
launch.
haven't quite gotten there yet. It's like you've made strides, you've done some amazing things, you might have had some accomplishments, but it's like, what is that barrier that's keeping you from really being great? What's that barrier that's keeping you from really realizing your true potential? And sometimes it's yourself, but all times it's another person, that's very important.
Right.
Not that she kept me back from anything. My mother was my biggest cheerleader. She always encouraged me to be better, do better. She knew I was meant for greater, but sometimes you have to realize that within yourself. So another person can't, they can only push you so far to see what they see.
D wrote, "What's that barrier that's
Good
keeping you from reach?"
question.
That's a
Wait a minute
great
now. That's a
question.
it actually is myself. So I'm sure most of us have heard the term, imposter syndrome. It is a very real thing. I know we do a lot of buzzwords that are
Absolutely.
overused and used out of context, but no, imposter syndrome is a very real thing. And a lot of people fear failure, but for me, I realize it's more so a failure. A fear of success is more accurate for me, because with success comes added responsibilities. With success, you have more people that are dependent on you to be great and sustain. And with those responsibilities, I don't mean just being responsible for yourself, but being responsible for others. So, as a, soon to be retired people pleaser, you have this fear of letting people down, So
Yes.
if you don't aren't as successful and you don't have these added responsibilities, you can't let people down.
That's true. With success comes increased responsibility and accountability.
Yep.
And that's stressful. So
Very
it can
stressful.
be. Mm-hmm.
So I've always shied away from leadership type responsibilities that have been thrown at me, because trust me, they have been thrown at me. Even in my like former jobs, they're like, "Don't you want to
Yeah.
be assistant manager? Or don't you want to manage?" No, I don't want to manage nothing but
Right.
myself.
Yeah. There's power in that statement, actually. There's such power in that statement, seriously, because it does add so much extra
Yeah.
stress. And I was talking to somebody today and they said, oh, let's go see the Renaissance tour. And I said, I would love to do that, but I can't. It's either go do that and enjoy the day or sit, get ready for the week so that tomorrow's not as
Yeah.
stressful,
I know. I was literally gonna, if my money had sustained the way it was when I went to Chicago this summer, I would have literally drove down to Kansas City, got on the train, and
To
I would
go
have
see it.
just for an experience for the day because, life is short. We don't do YOLO for everything under the sun,
That's
but no,
right.
YOLO has ability. Like sometimes it is YOLO if you can. Like, yeah,
If you
go do that
can. If you
if
can.
you
And now
can.
the movie's out. So the movie's out. I think this is the last weekend. I think it was like 2 weekends. And I think
Really?
this is it. I gotta check. Someone told me it was
Check
just two
too. I didn't
weekends.
know that.
I think so.
Oh.
But I'm not sure. I'm not, don't get me making stuff up. But
That's okay. We're gonna check the
we
times
have to make
and
choices. And
dates.
like you said, if you have a lot of responsibility, it's not as easy to say, sure, let's go to the movies. Yes, let's go.
Exactly.
Yes. So it comes down to all the choices, making choices.
Yep.
Back to our topic and holiday time. You gave us some wonderful tips. I want to make sure that I open up the floor for any other questions or people, or if you have other thoughts.
Some good ones so far.
There are some good ones. And so if you want to comment on any of that, Kiana, feel free, or if anyone else wants to come off of mute and ask a question or have a comment about something you might be going through that
Don't be
Kiana
shy.
can help with. What'd you say?
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Exactly. Don't be shy. And if you're on your phone, you can hit star six, or you can put it in the chat if you choose to, or just not, or whatever. I think what you said this morning, that's giving ourselves grace.
Yes.
And sometimes it's helpful just to be here in the spirit with other people. And sometimes we
Right.
want to do
That
that too.
communion, that fellowship, definitely.
I think one thing I would add, I'm sorry, cut you off.
No,
I was
go
going to
ahead.
say, I think one of our speakers recently talked about gratitude and the importance of having
Yes.
gratitude during the holidays. So even when we might be down or sad or missing a loved one, what can we look at from a gratitude perspective and a cup is
Yes.
full perspective versus empty? And that's what's helped me a lot, looking at where I can see the positive, where I can see the light, where I can be grateful. I was sharing that my son Kyle called this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. So that's 4 a.m. his time
Who
in
wanted to talk to his
Colorado.
mommy?
Just
I love
wanted to
it.
talk. I couldn't even believe it. But the
Especially for boys.
gratitude,
It's like, you
right?
call me at
I was like,
six?
are you not asking for money or don't want to get a, you don't
Right.
need an Uber somewhere? What? And it was just, and he said, no, Mama, I just wanted to talk. I was like, and I
That's
kept
beautiful.
thinking, okay, what's really, but the gratitude, one, he's alive. He sounds sober. He sounded good. He was like,
That's
I
good.
hung out
That's good.
last night. Wasn't a good idea. Wasn't a good idea. I have to go to practice in an hour. I was like, yeah, maybe next time you make a different decision. So, and that was it. Also, I've learned to
21,
respond
it's
different.
okay. I understand. I've been there.
A different type of reaction even than, old Kelly. So, anywho, I think that gratitude is really important as we go through these holidays too.
Definitely. I know for me, I'm making a plan. We talked about remixing holidays. There's someone that I know personally that's had international holidays. I'm like, you know what? That's what I
Oh,
really want to do.
that
I
sounds
really want to have
fantastic.
international holiday. Yeah, I want to be out of here. Okay.
That sounds fantastic.
Maybe I catch y'all for Thanksgiving, maybe, but for Christmas, at least, deuces. Merry Christmas from wherever I'm gonna be at. Passport stamp.
Absolutely. And that's the remix version. I have a cousin who, the aunt I talked about, her daughter, she said to me recently, I just have a very tough time with holidays. I don't really enjoy, sitting around doing gifts in the tree. She said, it's really hard for me. And so she's like you, she said, I'm not sure where I'll be, but won't be in Maryland. which is where, I live. Won't be there. But and I said, okay, do what you need to do. So I hear you
Exactly.
on that. Do what you need to do.
Right.
You know, remix. I love the remix.
Remix.
Love the remix. And Tierra mentioned that the resource for the resource guide is in the chat. There's a link to it in the chat. So just FYI, if anybody wants that, that's a free resource guide called 10 Ways to Cope with Grief. And it is in the chat.
And then
Awesome. Thank
also
you,
too,
Tierra.
it's the on the flow code. That's like a catch-all page where there's a link. If there's any issue, there shouldn't be an issue downloading it. There's a link directly on that page that says, 10 ways to cope with grief download. But it's also available at iRememberHer.net too. I just added it to the website last night.
Oh,
So
wonderful.
if you
Okay.
have a problem with that down, link, you also can go on the website. You'll see it on the main page and at the bottom.
That's awesome. I bought my books. A question on the I Remember Her. It's applicable if it's a father or a male, correct?
Yes, you can still use it. Of course, the prompts are going to say her, but you can still use it because it's still talking about grief overall.
Okay.
I am working on, that's what I was actually going to say. I am working on the series next. So I remember him is in the pipeline next. I'm working on that right now.
Okay.
And actually, God put it in my heart for this to be a series. I remember him had to
Wonderful.
be necessary because a lot of people have asked, him. And of course, people think, it's funny, maybe because you had the information ahead of time, but most people, when they see her, they automatically think like it's for self, like you're talking about yourself. And I'm like, no, it's not for girls. It's for who, if you've lost a
Right.
woman. If you happen to be a woman, no, it's not just for us ladies. Like, fellas, you can use this too. It's not,
Right.
that's not what the intent is. But
Right.
that
And that
is
book,
going to be a future
perfect.
title, though. There is going to be a book for self. It's going to be called I Remember Me.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's a whole series. I love that. I
Yeah,
think
and
I'm
the
on the
kids too.
summer.
Can't get the kids.
I love that. That's
There's
wonderful.
nothing, very few things out there for kids. I'm still doing a lot of research on that because, talking to children about death is a very delicate thing. And if you haven't had to really talk to kids and, reach out to professionals to how to approach that best with children, it requires a little more like finesse. So I'm still fleshing that part out. I do want to target, like, I would say kids, ages maybe 6 to 12 or 6 to 13, because I feel like once you get over that threshold, you're a little more mature and you're thinking enough to be able to use an adult book. You know what I mean? So
Maybe, I
those
don't
are kind
know. I'm certainly not an expert. I was pausing because I was thinking about
Yeah.
my
So
children when they
I was
lost
thinking of some
their.
combination of like visual, like coloring or something, but
Yeah.
also with some prompts that still, because kids are a lot smarter and they process a lot better than we sometimes give them credit for. I remember it's like when my niece was younger, and the things she would say, it'd be like, "Wait a minute, child, how old are you here?"
I love that. She's wise beyond her years.
Oh yeah, some kids come here, you'd be like, "Okay, you've been here before. Like, who's reincarnated? What ancestor am I talking to?" Because
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe in that too.
yeah.
Well, I love that you're going to do a series. I love that you have all these free resources. Thank you for that.
Oh yeah.
Anything else you want to share with our village this morning? Any other final words of wisdom,
Yeah.
conversation?
There's always words of wisdom to share.
Yes.
For me going forward, I would say what's gonna be really huge, and this is something that you all might want to take in consideration, is to find ways to honor big and small. And there is a lot of really good, now some of these are in the grief guide, but from like taking those days of trauma and turning them into something beautiful, something transformative and meaningful. So like death anniversaries, birthdays, sometimes those days pop up and they can be difficult to be in the presence without that person there to celebrate anymore. But if you take that and turn it into something else, like a celebration of some sort, or a scholarship. Like I remember when my mom my cousin. So that's like one of my first, yeah, that was like one of my first experiences with death was when I was at 14, age 14, which is funny because that was my mom's first experience with death, actually. So she was a teenager around that age. Her father passed away, and she was very close to my grandfather. And she would always say, you know, if I was your grandfather and your uncle was still here, I don't know if you guys would be here. I think I would have lived a different life. I might have became a doctor. I might have did, you know, life might have looked totally different. But she was like, you know, sometimes things happen because other things are meant to happen. So you guys were meant to be here. So
Absolutely.
my life had to go in this direction. So from when my cousin passed, he was like her first son. She would take him everywhere, you know, buy him everything, you know, big auntie energy. So that was like her firstborn, even though he wasn't her firstborn.
I love
So
that.
that death like really shook her. And that was my first introduction to it. So I remember not too long after he passed, she created a scholarship. She actually presented it
I
at
love
his
that.
funeral. So it was and my cousin was a huge celloist, like pretty much most of the people in my immediate family and immediate extended family have some sort of talent, especially artistic. Like I'm an artist. All my brothers, they can draw. My mother could draw. My cousin was a celloist. My other cousin, like, you know, was into the violin. So we all have like an artistic ability that runs deep in my
That's
family.
awesome.
But yeah, taking a moment like that, you know, a tragedy like that, and turning it into
Maybe a
something.
celebration or a
A
scholarship
celebration,
fund or
an
something. I love
honorarium of
that.
some sort.
I
So that's
love
what I
that.
plan on doing, and having like a gala. Like I would love my grandmother's birthday or something to be a gala because my grandma loved to dress. She had her furs. Now I call her my grandma. I have these vintage pictures of her.
I
I
love
call her my
that.
grandma, and I have some of her like vintage clothing, like one of her
Love
gowns,
it. Love
things
that.
that
I love that idea. There is a comment in the chat that came to me that I'd like to ask you about. It says, my sister feels like she does not want to be around family, but I think it
cheap.
will help her feel better. Should I encourage her to join the family? If she is not, she will be totally, if she does not, she will be totally alone in a city by herself, and I imagine it will make her feel worse. So that person that's concerned about her sister, and I imagine they may have lost a family member. So what, I guess the question is, what do you recommend, in terms of, because you opened with giving yourself grace and allowing people to grieve differently. And yet I completely understand this perspective around if my sister's by herself, she could be told she would be totally alone in a city by herself, and that might be worse.
My thought with that, are you concerned about her safety? Do you think that she might do something to herself from being isolated? I would say with that in mind, I mean, it's a very delicate line to a tightrope to walk with that because you don't want to infringe on someone's privacy or their boundaries that they set when they've said that I need to be by myself. But sometimes you do need that alone time. It can be potentially harmful because you might isolate too much, whereas you can really fall down that hole of depression
Yeah,
and
she
grief
says
and
no
anxiety.
concern about safety. Sorry to cut you off. No concern about safety.
Okay, good. So with that, then I would just keep encouraging, but don't push. And that just means that even if you, hey, if you can hop up and go to her, you know, definitely do that. You know, maybe show up. I don't know if she might don't mind surprises, but
Or
maybe.
maybe a Zoom. This is a caught thought.
Zoom,
During COVID, some of us
Zoom
did
too.
Zoom, gatherings where we could see family since we couldn't get together. Maybe a FaceTime or a Zoom call to
A
check on
one-on-one
family.
Zoom call, or like if you guys have the ability to do a live at the family function.
That I think would be, so I love, thank you for sharing that. The person that sent that text to me, appreciate you.
Yes,
And
thank
she
you.
says good ideas. So great. Another
Good.
question that's in the chat, challenging question. Have you ever had a discussion or created materials on how a person's grief affects other people? That's interesting. You ever had a discussion or created materials on how to
Discussing,
grief?
yes. That is a great idea. Thank you for that because I should create something how it affects other people. That's good. Hey, well, you gave me another homework assignment.
Yes. Kelly, I
I
can
have,
explain what I
yeah.
meant by that.
Please.
My father passed away. Good morning, Kiana.
Morning.
My father passed away in 2016, and my mom, all this time later, she's still grieving. And there's tons of support for the wife of someone who is grieving. They were married since, been together since college. And she gets all this support that tells you there's no timeline for grief. People grieve in different ways, all of those things. But it never really allowed my sister and I to grieve because we, in a way, were always supporting her. And
Gotcha.
it definitely created a strain on the relationship because my mom has never been aware. Well, I'm not going to say she's not aware. She's just so focused on how she's feeling that she doesn't really pay attention to how this long-term grieving has impacted the other areas of her life. So I know it's kind of a selfish question, but I do think it's
No.
important when you give people, when you say things like take as long as you need, do what you have to do, which I do agree with it.
Right.
There are opportunity costs to shutting down, shutting out. Like those relationships have to be picked up later or not. Or so it's just a question. Since you were talking about all this wealth and empire building that you're doing, I'm just wondering if this is something else you've come across.
Me personally, no. I can speak to, so I've been on both ends. For me, I didn't really sh do too much shutting out. Like I said, the level of acceptance that I reached early on, I wouldn't say it's uncharacteristic, but I know it's not the norm. Like we just said, there's no timeline on grieving, and everybody does it differently. Because your mom is your mom. That was her mate, and so that impact of that loss is going to be significantly different than, you being with the child parental relationship. And that's not an excuse. It's just try to look at it from a different lens. But with her, I would say I learned something in my studies. I haven't experienced this, but there's something called complicated grief. So grieving, technically the mourning period actually has a certain timeline. And from beyond that, that's when you're actually experiencing grief. So the mourning phase is the initial phase of grief where you're experiencing the different stages, like anger and bargaining and get to the level of acceptance. But when you get beyond that, it's something called complicated. That's the long-term grief. That's the period that you can't quite work your way through, that you're literally just functioning. You're going day to day. You may have, interactions may seem like things are moving forward, you're getting back to normal, but you're still in a state of, whatever level of the stage of the grief that you're set in. So it sounds like your mom is still in a certain stage and she hasn't moved forward from that particular stage in her grieving process. So she might be stuck. She might need some additional help. Maybe she doesn't know how to be unstuck from that. And like you said, it's affecting your relationships. I've had that where in a previous relationship, it put a strain because his, and during our relationship, like he lost both his parents. And it put a big strain. It was one of the major issues that I had, experienced trying to help somebody else work through their grief. And I hadn't even started to experience my grief yet. My grandmother passed like during the end of that relationship. And like what you just said, it's like, how can I? I can support you in your grieving, but I have my grief process too, and I haven't even been able to dive into that and process that, for myself, for you and your sibling. So I would say, I don't know, have you guys like sought any counseling or has that been put on the table at all? Because that sounds like something that definitely could use the attention of therapy of some sort of method
Oh,
of
yeah, it's
counseling.
been put there, but just thinking of the norms when you're dealing with grief, the support, generally they shy away from trying to put any additional
pressure on the person that's grieving. The goal is to help them get through their grief first before assigning any accountability, or so those other issues are secondary and tertiary, if at all. But like I said, I know it's challenging. I'm just wondering if that's something you've encountered, or an additional process and that grieving curve that could be inserted. So it's tricky.
It's very tricky.
But yes, we've discussed it. I've clearly moved beyond that, but it does affect people, and it presents itself differently. You know, when people say, oh, I've lost friends, I've lost whatever, you know, there's some personal, I don't want to say accountability because it sounds really selfish, but you know, people's help and support only goes but so far.
But you're not being selfish though. So I want to put that out of your vocabulary when you're discussing it, because that frames it as in that you're attacking, and you have the best intentions. You're coming from a place of love.
Right.
So you're very concerned, and you have every right to be concerned because, you know, it's your mom. You have one parent left. You know, you want what's best for her as she, you know, wants what's best for you. But just try to have patience. I know that can be tricky, like you said, you know, and I just hope that there is no resentment being formed. I'm not saying intentionally. There could be.
No.
Okay. Because that can breed resentment. It's like, okay, well, not that you need to move on, because you're never going to be able to actually move on, but move forward from being stuck and receiving, you know, said resources and help that have already been presented. It's like, okay, well, when are you going to do that? But just keep, you know, to your best of your ability, keep encouraging them to, you know, seek out certain resources and receive the help. It is difficult to receive help, especially I think the older generations sometimes with us younger people, it's hard to, they've already been like conditioned and trained to not get help, not receive help, even with the best of intentions, even from a place of love. It's like that lack of independence. Right. It's really, really difficult, especially for older people, and especially for parents. It's like, you the child, I'm the parent. Right. You know, I'm not supposed to be the other way around. It's like, well, no, mom. You know, you're grieving too. We're all grieving. You know, you lost. We're all working through it, and we just try to, you know, come together as a unit and work through it the best way we can. But just keep trying to be as encouraging as possible, but without, you know, sacrificing yourself, because you're. Grieving process is equally as important. I applaud you for having understanding and showing compassion to your mom. It's like you said, it's a difficult situation for everybody involved, but definitely prioritize your own grieving process, and you know, your mom will eventually come around.
Right. Thank you for that, Kiana, and thank you for the question, Dee, and for
the
collaboration or the conversation.
Great question.
Yeah.
So now I got homework assignments. I got to work on that too now.
Yes, you have things to add to your plate. But I want to just say as we close, thank you so much for being here and for sharing such wonderful words of wisdom and ways
to. I enjoyed this.
We enjoyed you. I enjoyed having you here. Really appreciate the nuggets that you shared, and also and the help that you provided. You know, for us as we head into these last few weeks of the year. So thank you again for being here. Really appreciate it. And Tiara,
thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And Tiara will close us out in a prayer this morning for this rainy and windy Sunday morning.
Thank you. So Father God, we thank you for another Sunrise Sunday. We thank you again for Kelly and her family who provides this platform for us week after week. We thank you for Kiana M. Davis, who has come here to share resources with us on overcoming grief. Lord, your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted. We thank you for being close to those who are battling with grief during this holiday season. We come against unhealthy levels of grief. We pray that you impart the wisdom to those who are struggling and their family members on the next best step for being propelled forward. We pray that you send Soul Tribe members to speak an encouraging word or to assist in the journey in achieving the purpose and plan you have for each of us. Lord, we thank you for restoration of joy, even in times of sadness. We pray your blessing over each and every person on this call and their families. May they have a peaceful, powerful, productive, and positive week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love Tiara's prayers. Thank you for that, Tiara. Yes. Thank you again, Kiana, for being here. And for everybody that's been on the call, thank you for being here. We will be back next Sunday with our next sunrise call, 9 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful week and a beautiful day. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.